Sit down, man.
Glenn Beck.
Sit down, man.
Rand Paul.
Sit down, man.
LL Cool J.
Sit down, man.
Netanyahu.
Sit down, man.
Sarah Palin.
Sit down, man.
Newt Gingrich.
Sit down, man.
Toby Keith.
Sit down, man.
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Robert Jensen, a professor in the School of Journalism at the University of Texas at Austin and a board member of the Third Coast Activist Resource Center in Austin. He's the author of All My Bones Shake, Seeking a Progressive Path to the Prophetic Voice, Citizens of the Empire, The Struggle to Claim Our Humanity, Writing Dissent, Taking Radical Ideas from the Margins to the Mainstream, and Arguing for Our Lives, A User's Guide to Constructive Dialogue. Welcome to Background Briefing, Robert Jensen.
Great to be with you, Ian.
And Ted Cruz is your senator, I might add. His 21-hour appearance in what is being referred to as a faux filibuster was hardly an exercise in constructive dialogue.
Well, first of all, I noticed the dig, you calling him my senator. I do live in Texas. I'm not how quick I'm going to be to claim Ted Cruz is a senator that represents me. Ted Cruz didn't get to the U.S. Senate through constructive dialogue. For those of us who watched Ted Cruz decimate a more traditional Republican in the primary to get to the U.S. Senate, what we saw today was on the Senate floor was nothing unusual. He's a very savvy political player. He's rhetorically very skilled. It's not really, as far as anybody in Texas can tell, about governance or ideas. It's about promoting Ted Cruz, and he does that very well.
Well, this is what I find so offensive, though. We know that Congress people trade in their public service for private gain when they leave office, and we know that they spend most of their time fundraising and very little of their time governing, and that's just the way it is, because money is taken over, and who has the most money wins in the current system or maintains their incumbency. But the idea that you're using the very forum of governance, the Senate, as a fundraising platform for yourself, one to promote your future career as a possible presidential candidate, and two, to satisfy your backers like the Club for Growth and the Koch brothers, that you're doing the Lord's work. I mean, this is what I find extraordinary, is that essentially the United States Congress has become a kind of circus for all of these self-promoters who are basically using the people's government as a private fundraising platform.
Yes, I think that, you know, there have been tumultuous times in U.S. history when Congress was a free-for-all. But I think you're right to identify this is not about political combat on the floor of the House or the Senate. This is about an external audience. Ted Cruz clearly believes that he can position himself to run for president next time around. Now, in most, you know, political cycles, people realize they have to serve their time at the state or local level, make a move up to the national level, and then kind of wait their turn and build support among party regulars. And Ted Cruz, perhaps a lot like Rand Paul, is going outside of that model, believing that a very firm base in the so-called Tea Party, fueled by the concentrated wealth of a few supporters, and with this mass media savvy they have, they seem to believe they can jump the queue and really be contenders for a presidential race next time around. Ted Cruz is an odd character because his rhetoric is so offensive to so many, yet it is persuasive to his base. And a lot of people have proved they can play to a base and then try to sort of shift during the general election. Didn't work so well for Mitt Romney last time around. But Ted Cruz has a kind of charisma and rhetorical power that Mitt Romney could never imagine. So I have to say this makes me a bit nervous about what's coming down in the next presidential election.
And again, I'm speaking with Robert Jensen, a professor in the School of Journalism at the University of Texas at Austin and a board member of the Third Coast Activist Resource Center. His latest book is Arguing for Our Lives, A User's Guide to Constructive Dialogue. And obviously the Republican Party at the primary level has been captured by the religious right and by these people like Ted Cruz and Rand Paul and Mike Lee, who really are not conservatives in any traditional sense. They're essentially radicals. So the chances of any of those three, particularly Cruz and Rand Paul, getting the nomination can't be discounted, because the people who vote, they're kind of bomb-throwing appeals to them.
And let me remind you that when Cruz ran in the Republican primary for this U.S. Senate seat, and in Texas at this point the Republican primary is essentially the general election, he ran against a man named David Dewhurst, who is the sitting lieutenant governor, who is a very wealthy man and could fund his own campaign, who had extensive contacts throughout the Republican Party, had everything that a candidate is supposed to need, including extensive experience in government, if not particularly outstanding service. And Ted Cruz defeated him decisively, 57-43%. He didn't just squeak by and kind of catch a mainstream Republican napping. He thrashed David Dewhurst, and that was in Texas, and admittedly, Texas is not representative of the nation. But Texas is not as different from the rest of the country, I think, as often as people assume. And this, you know, so-called Tea Party movement, an odd mix of kind of hyper-libertarian politics, religious devotion, fanatical obsession about guns, all these kind of things, Ted Cruz plays to every segment of it. And I think he is an extremely dangerous character, not just because he's a skilled demagogue, but because, as you point out, he doesn't seem to care much about what the consequences of his actions or his party's actions may be. It's always just about the next political objective. And with an economy that's already on the ropes, to kind of throw the dice with the debt limit and government shutdown and such things, is not a trivial matter. It's not just a political game. There's a lot on the line right now.
Well, of course, Cruz is saying, bemoaning the defeatist attitude of his fellow Republicans in the Senate. And John McCain, of course, has referred to him as a wacko bird. And he took to the Senate floor and blasted him for his antics with this 21-hour faux filibuster that Cruz engaged in. Now, are you saying, Robert Jensen, that the kind of inchoate anger that's out there and insecurity about the economy and about changing demographics that are making white men a minority in this country, is that the subtext that he's appealing to? Because his anger is totally theatrical, but it seems to be designed to press certain buttons.
Oh, absolutely. And the fact that, you know, he is Hispanic, Cuban background, gives him a kind of free pass in a lot of ways that other Republicans don't have. You know, the thing about candidates who are media creations, especially, who survive on demagoguery and, you know, a certain amount of charisma, they can flash brightly and they can also burn out quickly. So I'm not suggesting that Ted Cruz has built the kind of operation or the base that makes him an obvious shoe-in for the presidency. I'm simply saying that we shouldn't underestimate him. You know, I'm a bit gun-shy, because when George W. Bush was running in 2000, and people from around the country, friends of mine, called and said, "What about this Bush character?" I said, "Oh, don't worry, he's a suit and a haircut. There's no way he could get elected." So I'm a little humbled by my lack of predictive success in the past, perhaps. But I've seen Cruz speak, and he is very skilled. And there is a lot of fear out in the world today, legitimate fear in a lot of ways. But that fear, of course, can be turned in the ugly direction that Cruz and others. The other thing is, I think Cruz is different than Rand Paul. You know, these are the two people being bandied about as the insurgents in the Republican Party. Rand Paul is a true believer in libertarian politics, much like his father, Ron. Cruz, I have no such sense that Cruz has any ideological commitment at all. And in some ways, I think that makes Cruz much more dangerous. Rand Paul, I think, will eventually trip himself up. He's already, you know, gotten in trouble with, you know, thinly veiled racist comments about the Civil Rights Act and such things. Ted Cruz, I think, and of course I'm just going on a kind of public persona here, but from what I can tell, he has no deeply felt or deeply held commitments, and that makes it much easier to turn when public opinion suggests turning will get you votes. Rand Paul does seem to be someone who's going to stick to a certain ideological line, and probably will make it impossible for him to ever, you know, be nominated by the Republicans. But Cruz is a different kind of animal.
So he of course thinks he's standing on principle, and maybe some of his supporters and followers will believe that. But a lot of his fellow Republicans just see him as kind of a nuisance who's screwing up the schedule and tilting at windmills in order to promote himself here. And his faux filibuster has had the effect of gumming up the legislative works here. And we're getting really close to the crunch time, are we not? I think it's Tuesday. And the House is now, because the schedule is being changed because of Cruz's filibuster, which is, I think, largely why the senators were basically saying, why are you wasting our time? Because, you know, the vote is scheduled on Wednesday in any case. You can't change that. And he did filibuster all the way up to the vote. And now there's less time in the House. Once the Senate strips out the defunding of Obamacare, for them to deliberate. So they're not too happy about it in the House, from what I understand.
Well, no sane and rational person would be happy about any of this, because it's a serious impediment to actually resolving the situation. And again, you know, the consequences of this are not trivial. The United States economy is not exactly on solid ground, and little tremors like this can have big effects. So it's not surprising that even some of the other extremely conservative members of the Republican Party are unhappy with Cruz. Again, the approach Cruz appears to be taking is that his career is the only thing on which he bases a decision. I can see no other interpretation of this. He's not working with other Republicans, let alone trying to solve the problem collaboratively with Democrats. Now, it would seem that the party simply won't allow him to progress. But again, we're working in a very unstable political environment with multiple media channels that allow people like him who are skilled to reach people with a fanatical base. And as you pointed out when we began, the possibility of deep pockets from wealthy folk who want to see somebody like him in the White House. So in previous times, it would seem that Ted Cruz was just kind of a clown, a temporary blip, you know, a clown who wanders into the main stage and will be hustled out quickly. But these are not normal political times, and that's why I remain extremely nervous, even though I don't think a betting person would put much money on Cruz. But he certainly shown skill on the statewide level in Texas at playing this game, and there's no reason to think he won't continue to play it at the national level with some skill as well.
Well, I guess the one success he's had so far, and so is and Rand Paul as well, is that they've pretty much marginalized Marco Rubio, who I guess thought of himself as a rising star, and many, many Republicans thought of him in that light. He's obviously not ready for prime time based upon his extraordinarily poor performance in the rebuttal of Obama. I think it was after the State of the Union, where he raced off screen and grabbed a bottle of water. I don't know whether you saw that. But, I mean, I guess there's a certain schadenfreude here, a certain pleasure in the pain of him, another grandstander, not being able to break through and having these other guys continually steal his thunder. But you wonder, in this race to outright wing each other, how much further to the right can these people go? I mean, they made a mockery of conservatism. They are clearly radicals. But is there any more appetite in this country? Can the country move further to the right?
Well, that's a question that every time it's been on my mind in the last two or three decades, And I assume if we've gone as far to the right as possible, we've moved further to the right. So again, my success at predicting has been particularly bad on this question too. But you're raising a question that, you know, there are no more reactionary principles to articulate than they already have. I mean, short of, you know, open fascism or something like that, which I don't see the Republican Party going toward. I think you're absolutely right. Marco Rubio was kind of the safe newcomer that the Republican establishment could put out there, especially, again, with a Hispanic identity. It's not just that he hasn't been as, you know, sort of media skilled as a guy like Ted Cruz. Marco Rubio also occasionally, although he's, of course, very conservative, occasionally speaks as if evidence matters, as if, you know, governance should be conducted to try and create a stable country. You know, he's in the realm of the same, whether you like his policies or not, and I don't. But, you know, he's a person you can see thinking in a somewhat coherent manner. With Ted Cruz, that's all out the window. And, when you know, when John McCain is labeling you as too far to the right and unstable, you know that the kind of political landscape has shifted considerably. Of course, let's remember, if you take these people and put them down in any other modern industrial country, you know, Western Europe, Canada, or whatever, they all look like complete lunatics. I mean, even in societies that have shifted to the right, Germany, Canada, places that are more right-wing today than they would have been 30 years ago, the American conservative political, you know, class looks downright crazy everywhere else you go. Can it get crazier in the U.S.? I hate to say it, but based on past experience, I'd have to say yes. There are probably new niches of reactionary politics yet to be explored.
Well, I suppose, though, if it comes down to a competition between Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, and both of them have conducted, well, Rand Paul actually had a real filibuster. It wasn't as long, but it was a very principled one over a very important issue of the national, you know, the NDAA and the use of drones. And he has a lot of support on the left as well as on the right from the libertarian right. So it would seem to me that he equipped himself fairly well. And frankly, there were no liberal Democrats willing to step up and take the stand that he took. So he gets lots of kudos for that. But compared to what Cruz has just done, it's night and day. So do you think that even amongst these firebrand conservatives, these Obama haters, the Tea Party crowd, is it possible that Rand Paul is simply going to look better? I mean, he should look better, but how far out there are they not to recognize the difference between a principled right-winger and a flagrant opportunist?
Yeah. Well, you know, how principled Rand Paul is, I'm not sure I know. Certainly on certain types of libertarian issues, he holds the line. But that's precisely why I think he doesn't really have much of a future at the national level in the Republican Party, because the Republican Party doesn't share all of those libertarian ideas across the board. The Republican Party right now is a very strange mix of religious fervor and kind of 19th century economic theory and national security state militarism. And Rand Paul doesn't line up exactly on all of those things. As I said, I think Ted Cruz's ability to act in an extremely unprincipled way, and I'm not necessarily saying he's unprincipled. Maybe he's just crazy and doesn't know what he thinks. I don't know. I mean, I can't get inside the guy's mind, thank God. But on the surface, he seems to act in a very opportunistic way. And that's an advantage when you're running a kind of insurgency bid for national office without any of the sort of usual check marks of experience and networks and that sort of thing. You know, it's impossible to predict, but I would put some money on the likelihood that of a contest between Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, Ted Cruz has some serious advantages.
Well, I thank you so much for joining us here today, Robert Jensen.
Great to be with you. Thank you.
Again, I've been speaking with Robert Jensen, who's a professor in the School of Journalism at the University of Texas at Austin and a board member of the Third Coast Activist Resource Center in Austin. He's the author of All My Bones Shake, Seeking a Progressive Path to the Prophetic Voice, Citizens of the Empire, The Struggle to Claim Our Humanity, Writing Dissent, Taking Radical Ideas from the Margins to the Mainstream, and Arguing for Our Lives, A User's Guide to Constructive Dialogue. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program's available for podcasting at ianmasters.com. You can also contact me, and I'll be back again tomorrow at 5 p.m. with another Background Briefing. Bye for now. Bye.